Welcome to the Lowdown Friday edition. Huge game in Los Angeles tonight for your Edmonton Oilers. Winning in Hollywood in the postseason, no problem lately for the Oilers. They are road warriors when it comes to playing the Kings. This is going to be a very interesting weekend if you're an Oilers fan. The Lowdown is driven by Wolf GMC Buick on the corner of 184th Street and Stony Plain Road. Truck Month continues in April. Deep discounts on remaining 2023 Sierras and Costco member savings on select Buick and GMC SUVs. Visit WolfGMCBuick.com. We're on Twitter at Low Tide and at Declan Kruger. We're at sports1440.ca on iHeartRadio. Radio Player Canada loves us. On the radio, you can hear us. Apple and Spotify podcasts after the show. We tweet it out on X. And if you ask us, we'll put it on 8-Track and we'll put Declan on a bicycle and take it to your house after the show. We want you to hear it. We want you to interact too. So please text or call us at 1-833-401-1440. Yesterday, Declan threatened to let people talk live on the air because he hasn't been through that experience like I have. And you know what? Monday, we're going to have an open line Monday, only because I just can't deal with it. It's been a long week, so we're going to do it Monday, if that's okay. Our guest today, Steve Lansky, Mark Spector. He's live in Los Angeles. He'll be giving us updates on the lines and pairings and any breaking news through the entire playoffs. We're delighted to have him, and he'll be coming up in hour number two. Declinations with our friend Declan. And we'll have the rumor segment. Let's start there. Let's start with your declinations, sir. What are we looking at? What's the subject matter today?
Very excited about this one. We are going to be doing the top five players or coaches under the most pressure in this year's NHL playoffs.
So, Toronto.
That's a team, but close. Not a player or a coach.
Dallas, the way things are going.
Still a team.
I don't think Tampa Bay, but you never know. John Cooper been there too long at the fair. Maybe. I don't know. I don't have to think about that one.
Yeah. Couple options, but I'm really excited about it. I'm looking forward to this one. I think it's going to be a great list.
I don't think I rained on your parade by naming those teams. I bet you absolutely don't have any of them.
No. You know what's crazy? I almost said NFL playoffs. And really, if it was up to me, I'd be doing NBA playoffs. Maybe I'll do that one
Miami Heat winning that game has sent your brain in a different direction. We have the Jays, by the way, on the weekend. 107 tomorrow and 11:37 on Sunday. I love those early 11:30 games times. You know, because you get your work done. You go to church, if you go to church, get all that done. And then you have your, I don't know about you, but Sundays I have water, I have coffee, but I have two other drinks that I never have any other time of the week. I have a glass of orange juice and a glass of tomato juice. And it's been a tradition for me for a long time. I don't have the same time. I have the tomato juice at breakfast. And then later on in the day, I'll have a little bit of orange juice. I just like the colors. Okay, let's get to it. Game three is huge. Now, you know this. I'm not telling you anything out of school, but I'm bringing extra inflammation today. This was sent onto my blog today, and it was by Harper's Hare, who's a well-known fellow on my blog who does brilliant stuff and gets everybody angry at him because he's an Oilers fan, but he's one of those Oilers fans who's been excommunicated from Oilers fandom, and now he comes off as a Canucks fan, but he's secretly an Oilers fan. Honestly, he is. He just doesn't know it. Okay. He every once in a while sends a lot of stuff, but today he really hit it out of the park. A post from a place called Puck Drunk Love, and this goes back to May 6th, 2015. So it's not breaking news, but it's so interesting. Here's what he looked at. Here's what this individual looked at. Whoever wins whatever game, how often do they go on to win the series? And he looked at a lot of data, like a ton of it. 615 Stanley Cup playoff best of sevens from 42 to 2014. He looked at it all, baby. And here's what he found. Games one and two. Out of 615 best of seven series, the winner of game one, 68.6%. What is one game one? You're excited. Except the winner of game two also wins 68.6%. Curious. Here's the good stuff. Game three, 70.4% of Game three winners win the series. Baby, that's tonight. So if the Oilers win tonight, they've got a 70% chance of winning it all. You get to game four, it's less. It's 65.8%, which makes sense, right? You've gave, you know, game three winner. So if you don't win game four, if you lost game three, you don't win game four, you're in real trouble. You're not going to win. So the edge today, it's like in baseball. If it's a 1-1 count and strike two comes in, well, you're in a world of hurt. Ball two, oh, you know, you've got all day. You can relax, chew some gum, have a, you know, dart, whatever you want. Game number four, not as important as game number three. Game five, now there's fewer series, obviously. 45.8% of game five. Game six, 48%. And of course, game seven is 151 out of the total. If you're to game seven, whoever wins that is moving on. I thought it was very interesting because game three is pivotal. It's like strike one in baseball. I wonder about tonight's game for the Edmonton Oilers. Because it seems to me this team under Chris Knobloch is really good at making adjustments. And one of the reasons I think they are is that Chris Knobloch does not overreact to things. So, while fans are saying, get Skinner out of there, he's no good, or CeCe and Nurse, man, you got to change that up, or the Draisaitl line sucks. I wonder, and we'll talk to Mr. Spector, he's down there. Hopefully by that time we'll have the lines and pairings. You are looking for the lines and pairings for me, are you?
I am.
You're not over there making Kubasaw or something?
No Kubasa.
Okay.
Probably because I don't know what it is.
Oh, all right. Interesting. Yeah. But anyway, bottom line is that we're going to find out if there I don't think there'd be the kinds of changes that we would have seen under Todd McLellan or Dave Tippett or really even under Jay Woodcroft. I think Jay Woodcroft was a busier coach than Chris Knobloch. Knobloch isn't exactly the Cito Gaston of the NHL. And if you're a baseball fan, you're chortling right now. I'm quite pleased with my reference myself, to be honest with you. Cito Gaston was the Jays manager, and he was well known for changing nothing. Like Cito Gaston, honestly, I know he never had a stroke, but sometimes you'd wonder because he'd run the same lineup over and over, even if he didn't have necessarily the platoon advantages. Knobloch isn't like that, but he is more consistent. I think he does less, you know, I mean, maybe they'll juggle during the game, but he does less. And one of the examples I'll give you is that Dylan Holloway really didn't move up on a night that he was like scoring two goals. And for me, that's one of the real themes, no matter what happens in this series. One of the takeaways I have, I wrote about it at The Athletic today, is, and I want to talk about this if you have time. I know you're very busy with your lunch and such, but I really want to talk about this because I think it's important. You know, whether we come in with our own bias or whether we come in with our own opinion or we are provably correct in something, we have to observe new information. And when he got here in 2019, Ken Holland stood by a tree and he talked a lot about over-ripening players. You didn't want to be doing this whole conveyor belt. You draft them in June, you put them in the lineup in October, and they're struggling by December. He didn't want that anymore. He wanted to over-ripen prospects. And my God, did he do that. Evan Bouchard was ready a long time before he arrived in the NHL. I still think it was about the contract, but I will move on from that because we have points to make. So if the Edmonton Oilers win the Stanley Cup, and if Dylan Holloway emerges as a player of importance, and maybe even Philip Broberg, and that's what I wrote in the piece today, if all of that happens, is it in our hearts and minds and intellectually are we capable of saying, well, now, maybe Ken Holland had a point? I'm not saying you should say that. I'm saying if this occurs, I'm all about having put Evan Bouchard in the lineup long before he was. I think that you're when you have young players and they're still cutting pathways in their brain parts, you've got to put them in the lineup so they can learn, observe, pick up, and adapt. Because after a while, I mean, Declan's past it now, so I'll inform him. You don't build the new neural pathways. You're just on the same highway you're going to be on for 4,000 years. And so in terms of development, you get the kid as high as you can and have him not fail, but you get him there so he can carve those areas, right? Successfully. Anyway, that's my opinion. But what do you think? Let us know. 833-401-1440. I know it's a big, big, big thought on a Friday when we're all thinking about the beach. I wish we had beach weather. Could we order that up, please? Maybe not. Anyway, I was going to talk about the memories of Miracle on Manchester, but I don't want to. Because Daryl Evans and Gary Younger's ridiculous game and the entire damn business is just too painful. So let's move on from that. Panthers and Hurricanes are rolling. Jets, Maple Leafs, Canucks, Oilers. It's time, baby. It's time. If one of these, this is like being in the starting blocks tonight. All of these teams, it's giddy up time. I don't care what the total is in terms of who's won how many games. All of these teams, it's go time, baby. It's go time, baby. It's time. You're the Mandelbaums. You're the Mandelbaums. You've got to get going. It's time. I'll just keep repeating this until 2 o'clock. Of the four, Jets, Maple Leafs, Canucks, Oilers, I'm saying this honestly, I think the Oilers are the ones will emerge. Don't know for sure, obviously. I think the Maple Leafs have a real good shot too. We'll see. Got to get to Swayman. Run over him a little bit. NFL draft. Declan, tell us everything we need to know in less than 10 seconds.
Ooh, okay. I'll try and make this. I've already used my 10 seconds. Yep. Caleb Williams went number one overall. Wasn't a shock in the slightest. The biggest ones for me, Michael Penix going eight to Atlanta.
What
complete
is that?
Complete shock. Listen, Michael Penix was a six-year quarterback who had like four season-ending injuries. They just signed Kirk Cousins to a four-year, $160 million
deal. Which apparently is going to be 2 years now because you've already got, you just drafted his replacement.
Michael Penix is going to be 28 by the time that contract runs out. And Michael Penix is like, maybe he ends up being a good quarterback. Maybe he ends up being a franchise quarterback. But you could have traded that number eight spot, gone down 20 picks in the draft, got a king's ransom for that eighth overall pick, and then still selected Michael Penix there. He would have definitely been on the board. The pick makes absolutely no sense whatsoever. You just gave a guy life-changing money and $160 million who, with the presumption he's going to be your franchise quarterback for 4 years, and then you will go out and you spend a top 10 pick on a guy who, like I said, six-year starter, four season-ending injuries, is might as well be 100 years old in NFL terms. It just makes no sense whatsoever. And I'm not trying to disrespect Michael Penix. He might be a solid pro, but it does not make sense at this spot whatsoever. I have no idea what the Atlanta Falcons were doing. And you saw the videos. Their GM was meeting with their owner, and it basically looked like he was explaining his pick to him and defending his pick to him and trying to grovel for his job because this pick, it's asinine. And I don't want to come away. I don't want the takeaway from this to be that Michael Penix is not going to be a good NFL quarterback, because he very well may be. The spot where the pick happened doesn't make any sense. The team he went to doesn't make any sense. The whole thing is just one of the biggest draft blunders I've seen in at least a decade.
So, and I agree with all of that, but it surprises me because here's what I don't understand.
People,
okay? Like, this is so far, there's two quarterbacks who were taken out of time, Falcons and Broncos. It looks like two wasted picks. Why would you do that?
Well, listen, so the Jordan Love model is something a lot of people have talked about, and they especially reference it to Atlanta. Jordan Love, for one, was a late first-round pick. He was not the eighth overall pick. And Aaron Rodgers was a proven Hall of Famer. Kirk Cousins is not. Like, Kirk Cousins is a good, fine, top 12 quarterback in the NFL. I think underrated by a lot of people. Learning from Kirk Cousins in his first year in the system in Atlanta is not the same thing as learning from Hall of Fame quarterback Aaron Rodgers. Mm. Michael Penix may be better than Jordan Love. Jordan Love was also 20 when he got drafted. Michael Penix is 24 and he's going to be 28 by the time Kirk Cousins' contract is up. It makes absolutely no sense. I can't reiterate that enough. And I know I'm kind of going in circles a little bit here.
Yeah.
But seriously, what else is there to say?
Well, I'm watching it, and I'm like, when Atlanta did it, I tweeted out. I said, what's going on here? Because they signed the guy in March to 100 mil.
Yes, 160. 4 years, $40 million. And this was a team that desperately needed an edge rusher. There were great edge rushers on the board here.
Right.
Dallas Turner was there. Jared Verse was there. Leitu was there. There were phenomenal edge rushers at that position, and they went to a quarterback who presumably by the time he plays is going to be damn near 30 years old without any sniffs of meaningful NFL snaps. It just doesn't make any sense whatsoever. And by the way, when that four-year Kirk Cousins contract ends, you're already going to be having to look at optioning Michael Penix for his fifth year, and you're going to have to make a decision on whether you want to option him or pay him without any game film on him. It doesn't make any sense.
No.
Denver's pick, I get that one a little bit more. It's a similar thing to Atlanta. You probably could have traded back, got Bo Nix later, and got a good haul for that 12 overall pick, but that quarter room is horrendous. Like, Zach Wilson is looking like QB1 in Denver right now. He's horrible. Like, he's a terrible player. He's an awful quarterback. You needed something there. So I get that pick a little bit more, but the timing of the pick, the fact that you could have traded down, got X amount, and picked him 29th or whatever it may have been, or even early second round, makes no sense at all whatsoever to me.
I want to talk about the Bills. I want to talk about the Eagles. Can we do a segment later on about it? Because the NFL draft, is continuing, right?
So yes.
Are you able to do that?
Yeah, let's mix it in at 1 p.m. today. We'll put it on the calendar.
I love it. And then the other thing I wanted to talk to you about very briefly is Embiid. Did he do anything?
So he has been fighting a case of Bell's palsy.
That's bad. I know
facial
about it.
Paralysis, and it started in the play-in against Miami. And there was actually a video that came out where he couldn't blink his left eye. And people were kind of concerned and half joking, half not saying, this Philadelphia 76ers medical staff is pumping him with so many painkillers because of his back and everything.
Right.
And
it's like a stroke. It's like a little bit of a stroke.
Yes, yes it is. And listen, credit to them. They won yesterday. I don't know what's going to happen with Joel Embiid. Health is wealth.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very unfortunate that he can't stay healthy. But as things persist, and as the years go on, we are going to forget this Bell's palsy episode. We are going to forget the injuries, and we're just going to look at the results because that's what we do on a broad spectrum.
You bet.
And we're going to say he hasn't been able to get it done. It's unfortunate. It's going to be the narrative. It may or may not be deserved. All things aside, I hope he gets healthy. All things aside, I think if things go well for the Philadelphia 76ers, they can beat this New York Knicks team. They're up against it. We'll see what happens.
Well, they won last night, though, right?
They did. Yep. Well, yep, they did. And Jalen Brunson had a hell of a performance, and it wasn't enough. Philly got the win. So they're still very much in this series. If they can get one more, then it becomes a best of three. They will have to play two games on the road, but if they can win two in a row, get some momentum going for them, figure out their matchups they like, I think things could turn in their favor.
Well, what I like about what happened in this game is that they showed some life. It felt to me like they were on their way out, and I'm like, well, come on now. You know, let's get it together. And they did a little bit at least. Okay, on the way, we've got such a busy show. Rumors on the way. We also have declinations at 12:40. And then Steve Lansky at 1 o'clock. Mark Spector at 1:20. We're going to talk NFL 2 before 2 o'clock. Man, there's stuff going on. Lowdown with Low Tide on Sports 1440. It's the Lowdown on Sports 1440. Driven by Wolf GMC Buick. Truck Month continues in April. Visit wolfgmcbuick.com. Good song. You're really kicking ass right now in the musical.
My goodness. I may get killed for my takes. I may, not know anything about sports, but I figure you may want to keep me around just for the music choice.
Well, I don't think that's true.
Thank you. Good. But I feel like I have a lot to offer.
No, I said that I'm not keeping you around for that.
Oh,
you're just hanging by a thread.
Wow.
Every move you make.
See, I thought you were going to turn it around and be like, Declan, you teach me something every day.
Oh, no.
You're incredibly well spoken.
I don't. Maybe you try, but I'm not listening. So
yeah,
there is that. Oilers on the ice at Crypto. And based on reports, lineup is the same. Now, I like that from the coach. Just my personal opinion. He doesn't call me and ask, but I do think that you can slip up and slide during the game, but you want these guys not worried about, oh, I'm playing with Arthur now instead of Frederick. You've got that side of it is done. Now you just concentrate on the game. And this is a huge game in this series. LA's got the momentum. Now, I will say momentum never cares in these series against Los Angeles. And home ice is not an advantage in these series. But it is a big game. And that is the central theme of what we're talking about today. You know, make no mistake. Well, you know, sometimes in media we hype stuff. Well, this is no hype. This is all that and a bag of chips. By the way, Brad Harstock wants his 8-track of the show delivered right after the show. So it looks like you're getting on the bicycle and easing on down the road. Very interesting. So that's your first rumor, and it's actually not a rumor. It's a fact. The Edmonton Oilers are not making changes. Over in Toronto, we'll see. There's some changes afoot, maybe. Luke Fox reporting that Sheldon Keefe saying the Leafs will make a call on Nylander tomorrow. All signs point to yes. Mr. Lyubushkin is having a baby. He's back to Toronto from California. It will be available to play. Brody likely to make his series debut. Matthews injured, ill, but maybe coming back. So lots in Toronto today. Lots of news from Toronto. And I know you love that. I know you live for the Toronto news. Jesper Fast is expected to miss the entire series now. Rod Bindemer telling Valley Sports that. And, you know, you always hear there's a fog of war that goes on when it comes to playoff hockey. It's even worse than during the regular season where you get very little. You get zero, and actually it might go the other way in the playoffs where you hear, well, he's no longer – you know, able to speak, and you're like, oh, and then a week later, yeah, he's probably going to make it back. The word on Brett Pesce is he might be able to make it back, depending upon how long Carolina's season goes, which there was a time when he said, you know the Monty Python, bring us your dead. That's the way it sometimes sounds in the playoffs, and then miraculously, you know, Eric Cole came back from something, the cat came back the very next day. Lots of stuff happens in the playoffs that we don't think about. Yesterday, Brock Besser left early from practice. I thought he'd ordered a pizza, but he did take a shot up high on the wrist during a power play drill. Everything is magnified this time of year. Everything. Low Tide, could you please give us your personal probability Oilers Kings series, please? I think the Edmonton Oilers win it. I think they win it in six. I think they win at least one, maybe two in L.A., the Edmonton Oilers are the Stevie Wonder song Higher Ground. They are reaching for higher ground. I think they'll make it. I think their destiny is to make a deep run. I don't know if they're going to win the Stanley Cup final, but if you go to any site that is worth its, you know, salt, you're going to find a year-to-year standings. And beside the year-to-year standings, there's going to be what they did in the postseason. So, for instance, in 2019, the Oilers were out of the playoffs. They hired Ken Holland. The next year, they lost in the qualifying round. In 2021, lost in round one. In 2022, they lost in round three. They got deep, and they were not good enough for Carolina or Colorado. They were too injured. Last year, ran into Vegas in the second round, didn't get it done. I've watched hockey for years and years and years, and this team right now reminds me of the New York Islanders of the late 70s that were so close, so heartbroken. Toronto beats us. Oh, my God, we'll never get there. The Rangers beat us. We can't. Oh, my God, we win four in a row. And I'm not saying the Oilers are going to win four in a row, but they've been good, and they've been knocking, and they're not there yet, and it's been a while. It's not just last year that they were disappointed. They've gone deep or should have gone deep. They played the Stanley Cup champion the last 2 years. I think the destiny of this team is, if it's going to continue to motivate over the hill, is that they go deep, deep, and maybe win Stanley this year. That's how this works. They're a better team. They're deeper. Doesn't mean they're going to do it. Maybe. Remember in 2011, I think it was 2011, Vancouver gets to the final, Boston beats them, and they go, okay, the next year we're going to do it. You know what happened? The LA Kings went and circumvented that Vancouver Canucks Stanley Cup championship. That could happen to the Edmonton Oilers now. There's no ifs, ands, or buts. The Edmonton Oilers could lose to Los Angeles, and I think it would represent a major, major sea change, using a phrase the kids use a lot, in the organization. I don't think that's their destiny. It's time for the Connor McDavid, Leon Draisaitl, Darnell Nurse, Ryan Nugent-Hopkins, yada, 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 Edmonton Oilers to win the day. It's time. It's time. But that doesn't mean that it's going to happen. It was time for the New York Rangers to win in 1972. It was time for the Minnesota North Stars to win in 1981. Those things did not happen. It was time for the Chicago Blackhawks to win in 1973. Didn't happen. There's no dominant team in the National Hockey League this year. If Dallas goes away, the favorite to win is also gone. You know what that means? You're out there, baby, and you've got a real shot. You've just got to take care of your own business. And that's what I expect to see from the Edmonton Oilers tonight. There's leadership in that room. I don't think there's any desperation. There's confidence in that room, and there's the knowledge that you do not want to have happen what happened in Colorado or in Vegas. You want it not to happen. Guess what? Guess what? The Edmonton Oilers can win, and they should win. And if they don't win, then I do think we're going to see some changes here. That's my opinion. And you can say, well, they're not. They don't have. Okay, fine. They're not perfect. No team is. This is the cap era. This is the era of picking first. If you're bad, there's no easy fix. I wrote today on the blog about 1982, when Glenn Sather and the Oilers lost to the Los Angeles Kings, the Miracle on Manchester. It was depressing. It was really tough. I remember very well being a fan of the Edmonton Oilers at that time. And Sather was talking about, well, we're going to get Mark Habscheid. He's got Strubies coming from Saskatoon. We're going to get those guys. We got a few other guys. And then he talked about that there was, I think, three checks from the national team who were going to be allowed to come to North America and play in the National Hockey League. And Sather was talking about Milan Novi, Miroslav Horova, was it? Or Mironov, one of the two, and then Yaroslav Pozar. And Pozar was the guy he got. And Pozar came and played and helped them win the Stanley Cup. And it's rare that you find this deep in a run a player who can be a plug and play from outside sources, specifically from the draft, which is what happened to the Oilers in 1982. That's a tough, tough road. Now, the Oilers have an advantage, and notice that Corey Perry was signed as a free agent during the season. That's a hell of a get by Ken Holland. But I get it. I understand how you feel. But this is the time, Forrest. There's no other time for the Edmonton Oilers. It's now. They got to get it done, and by that I mean they have to win and go deeper than they did, because guess what? They went to round three 2 years ago. They went to round two last year. If they get to the final and lose, that is highly disappointing, but there's the belief and there's the build. You don't lose to LA in the first round if you're these Edmonton Oilers. And if you do, then it's time to review. It's time to sit down and really have a long look at what is happening and why you're not winning. And maybe you start thinking about the goaltending. Maybe you start thinking about the defensive group. Maybe this team doesn't have enough whatever, and you have to deal with that. I don't think this team is there at this time. That's my opinion. This team is better than that. There's no reason to get into the mire and the minutia of what's wrong with this team now. They lost one game. I think they're going to win tonight. And I think they're going to win the series against Los Angeles. And I will predict that the second round could easily be easier than this round. And I will remind you that I said the Oilers should play Vegas in the first round, because then you swallow the frog. And no matter what happens when the Oilers get out of this series, they are going to be beaten up, because that's what the LA Kings do.
Tide, you had wanted me to chime in if there was anything to do with the Lions.
Yes.
According to Bob, they are the exact same.
All right. Bob's your uncle.
Yes, sir.
Do you know that's a phrase that people use?
Yeah, I do know it's a phrase. People are like, who do you think? What do you think I am, man? Of course I know it's a phrase.
What are you challenging me? I'm not arm wrestling with you. You're a boxer.
Yeah, but that's not like equated. You can't equate. You'd beat me in an arm wrestle, probably. There are a lot of people who beat me in an arm wrestle.
We'd start arm wrestling and you just punch me right in the face. I know you.
Arm wrestling is like a lot of technique, I think, from what I've seen on YouTube videos. Yeah, sure. Yeah.
But have you ever done that? I hope you haven't, because you've done some weird things and you're a smart guy, but you do weird things even though you're a smart guy. Have you ever seen the where they a guy walks up and the other guy's standing there and he's got his hands behind his back and the guy slaps him as hard as he can?
Yeah, power slap.
What the hell is the matter with people?
No, it's like I can't even begin to get behind that. It is brutal. We're not giving that any airtime. It's a joke. Unless it's your thing, then, you know.
No,
then
Bob's your uncle, how but. Can it be your thing? Like, I want everybody who does that to show their mom that video because no. Their mom will kick their ass.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. Like, we can't even. I'm over it.
Me too. I'm over it too. All right. On the way, declinations at 1 o'clock today at Steve Lansky. Mark Spector at 1:20. We're talking NFL draft at 1:40. My goodness, we're busy today. This is the Lowdown with Low Tide on Sports 1440. On Sports 1440, we're hanging out until 2 o'clock today when Jason Greger hits the radio. We're brought to you by Wolf GMC Buick. Truck Month continues in April. Check it out, wolfgmcbuick.com. And right now, by the way, in hour two, Steve Lansky, Mark Spector, and NFL chatter as day two of the draft is on the way. But right now, though, it's time for declinations, and you've got a good one today, sir.
Yes, sir. The top five players or coaches under the most pressure in this year's NHL playoffs.
There's what, 16 coaches?
Let me just run the... Yeah, 16 coaches.
All of them.
I will actually say it was really more players, and then I did add one coach on there. So it's four players and one coach.
Oh, for why did I think it was coach?
No, players and coaches, but I have one coach.
So you've
coach
said
on
that
there.
To me 11 times, and I've only heard coaches.
At least four, yeah.
Mm.
But it's okay. I'm glad we're all up to speed. We're all on the same level now.
Low Tide's listening has not kicked in today.
Listen, my listening's pretty bad every day. All so right. I would say we're more in tune than you would think.
Okay.
Number five, I have Connor Hellebuck. Now, I don't think Connor Hellebuck is under the same pressure as some of the other guys I'm going to mention, or he's under the same sense of pressure. But Connor Hellebuck is a guy, like you look at Winnipeg, Mark Scheifele, fine player, Kyle Connor, fine player, Nikolaj Ehlers, fine player. But you look at Connor Hellebuck, and he is often talked about as the one goalie who can steal games or a series for a team.
Yes, yes.
And he's been thought of that way for a few years, I think. Mm-hmm. And his playoff record is just not very good. He's 18-24 in the playoffs. This year, we obviously know, now they're 1-1, but in two games, he has the 10 goals against, .870 save percentage.
Yep.
He has not been good. And Connor Hellebuck is the one goalie in this league, I think. Maybe you could add Swayman in there as well, but I think Boston has a much better team in front of them. But Hellebuck is the one guy who you think of and you say, oh, they have Hellebuck, he could steal a series. Oh, they have Hellebuck, he could steal this big game. And I think there's been a trend where he has not done that in his playoff career. Mm. I think he needs to, and his pressure isn't a historic pressure the way you're going to see for some of the other guys on my list, but this season, the actual in-game pressure, I have Connor Hellebuck, my number five.
You know what? It's a really good name because, you know, after the game, people were like, but they lost and they got like eight by Hellebuck or whatever it was.
Yeah.
And you're right. He's a pivotal You're right. They're very well done. I can't imagine there's four more pressure-packed situations, but I'm sure you're going to come up with them.
Well, we'll see. Number four, I have Rod Brendamore. Rod Brendamore, like, Carolina is a team that year in and year out is thought of as a team that can make the Stanley Cup Finals and compete for the Stanley Cup Finals. Yes. It's been like that since he's been the coach. It's been 6 years of that. They have three straight years of finishing first in their division. Now, to their credit, I don't know how people feel about Sebastian Aho, but I think you could probably make the argument that they don't have a true superstar, and I think that would be fair. But they're a team that is consistently at the top of the division, consistently in the top of the East, and a team that is year in and year out for these past 6 years thought of as being a team that can win the Cup. They haven't even been to a Cup. Now, I'll give them this credit. They've been to two conference finals. They obviously went last year. They lost to Florida.
Right.
Their other conference finals was back in 2019 where they lost to Boston. Two second-round exits and a first-round exit. It's not the worst playoff resume ever. But I think there is pressure under Rod Brendamore because, like I said, this team doesn't necessarily have a superstar, but there has been an expectation for the past 6 years that this team needs to get to the Stanley Cup, and they haven't done that. For that reason, Rod Brendamore is my number four.
Okay. Number three.
Number three. I have Leon Draisaitl at my number three. And I'm not, like, Leon Draisaitl, I'm not trying to poo-poo Leon Draisaitl because his numbers have been incredible. Coming into this year, he had 49 playoff games, and he had a 1.57 points per game average. Like, he has been incredible in the playoffs. He has shown up in the playoffs, and he has, you know, 4 points in two games this playoffs. He's a 2 point per game guy this playoffs. So he's shown up. He's been there. He's done what he needs to do. But when you're a player of Leon's stature, and when you're a package deal with another guy I'm going to talk about in a minute here, there are certain expectations that come with that. And to this point, I think it's fair to say that his points have been great, but results-wise, he hasn't lived up to it. And it's not all him, but like I said, he is a package deal with another guy I'm going to talk about. For that reason, he's my number three.
Okay. And I just have a couple of questions, if I may.
Yes. So, I'll try and answer them.
I think pressure is good for players and for people, you know.
Pressure forges diamonds.
Sure. And so my question is, I wonder, because the coach, Chris Knobloch, he likes to run his lines as he sees fit, and he doesn't really line match, and he can be, Leon could be in a vulnerable, is what I'm saying, to maybe Kopitar. Do you have any room for, if Leon once again gets caved by Kopitar's line, that maybe the coach is contributing to the pressure? Or is that another, like, off-ramp of what you're talking about?
Now, I would say, yes, the coach can contribute to the pressure. But, like, it's been three straight years. Like, if you're talking about Kopitar specifically, it's been three straight years of the same team. Now, they've obviously won twice.
Right.
And he's played well. I'm not trying to say that. And I'm looking past LA.
Right.
And I'm looking on a grand scale. So, you know, coaching, of course, can contribute to it. Mm-hmm. And it's a weird spot with Leon because his on-the-ice performance has been incredible. But there just needs to be more. And I'll get to that in a little bit.
All right. Okay. Number, what are we now?
Two. Number two, I have Austin Matthews.
Okay. Yeah.
Listen, this guy, the way the Toronto media talks about him, they think he, you know, he's a hockey god. He is the best hockey player since Gretzky, and maybe even including. And not only has Toronto not done anything in the playoffs since he's been there, like, Austin Matthews hasn't been great. He has 47 points and 23 goals in 53 career playoff games. It might be 54. But regardless, like, he has not shown up in the playoffs. He is consistently talked of as the best player in hockey. I think that's asinine. I do think he's a top five player. But he is a guy who is in the mecca of hockey. And in the time he's been there, this team has, like, not only have they not shown up in the playoffs, they have been forgotten past the first round, right? So he needs to take steps. He needs to finally contribute to winning hockey. Like, mm-hmm. Listen, we can watch him put up 50, 60 goals in the regular season, and Toronto media can try and work their, you know, their golden child into the hard conversation. But we need to start winning hockey games when it's meaningful. We need to start showing up in the playoffs. And in his entire tenure in Toronto, he has not done that.
Yeah. I agree with you, and I also think that when you sign a shorter term deal as Matthews did, I think that the pressure is even higher for you and the organization.
Yes, the window immediately gets smaller. Right. Everyone knows that.
Yeah, and I said at the time I like the long term, even if the guy is not as good in the last couple of years, at least you've got that long play to try to get it right.
Right. There's a feeling of the window's been extended. Yeah, now, obviously, sometimes it can restrict you and can handcuff you salary-wise, et cetera. Mm-hmm. But I agree what you're saying in principle, that there feels like there's more of a leash almost.
Yep, that's fair. All right. Number one?
Number one, I have Connor McDavid.
Oh, wow.
Connor McDavid. Listen, you talk about the numbers like I talked about with Draisaitl. He's obviously been incredible as well. 6 points in two games, like 3 points a game in the playoffs. Now, that'll obviously drop a little bit, but he's incredible. 1.53 points per game in 49 career games coming into this playoff series. Connor McDavid is incredible. His on-ice performance is there, but this is the thing. Connor McDavid, this is year nine now with Leon. This Edmonton Oilers team, in the 8 years together, has one conference finals to show for it and four playoff series won as a whole. He's been the best player in the world for what, 7 years?
Yeah.
Like, at some point, it needs to be past the 100-point seasons. At some point, it needs to be past all the hearts, and those are great, and we appreciate them, and we're very lucky to have him. I don't want that to be swept under the rug. But at some point, when you have the best hockey player in the world and you have another former league MVP and a guy who's thought of as a top 5, 6, 7 player in the world playing on your power play and running your second line, winning 4 series in 8 years and going to 1 conference finals is just not good enough. It's simply not. You need to do better. You need to show up. You need to start winning these series. And it's not all him, of course. It's a team game. I get all that.
Yeah.
But he's the leader. He is the catalyst. Things need to go in the direction of winning hockey games. And listen, I've said this many times. I'm looking past L.A. I think they wash L.A. in 5. Maybe now I'll take it to 6, whatever. I think they're going to wash whoever wins Vancouver and Nashville. I think that Dallas is the toughest matchup by far out of the Central, and Dallas is down 2-0. Yep. I think the path has never been more open to the Stanley Cup for Connor McDavid and the Edmonton Oilers. And like to be considered an all-time great, you got to win. You just have to win. You play the game to win. And when you look at the list of the great hockey players, the generationally talented hockey players in the conversation is Connor McDavid. They've all won Stanley Cups and all won multiple. I'm fully of the belief he's going to win one, if not more, Stanley Cups. I
don't know if it's here.
That's sure. I have no doubt he's going to win. But it's been 9 years now. You have won conference finals and you have 4 playoff series total won. You're the best player in the world. You've been the best player in the world for damn near a decade. You need to start winning in the playoffs, and you need to start leading this team at least to a Stanley Cup, if not a Stanley Cup victory.
I guarantee you're going to get some pushback.
I don't understand what it could be for. I really don't. Like, listen, I understand.
He in the 2 series they beat in L.A., he just put them on his back.
He is incredible, and he is – the numbers are incredible. 1.53 points per game in 49 playoff games. 6 points so far in 2 games this playoffs. He's the best player in the world. But you have to win. And 1 conference finals in 8 years playing with another league MVP on your team is not good enough. And I understand you can talk about how they're handcuffed at other positions. I can understand how they're handcuffed at the goalie, et cetera, et cetera. But there needs to be winning hockey at some point. And 9 years is more than enough of a sample size.
I believe that if the Oilers were to lose the series against Los Angeles, that's why I went back to 82 and the miracle in Manchester. Because that was a pivot point for Glenn Sather. He went out and got Pozar, who was a steamroller and a good two-way player. And I do believe that if the Oilers were to lose to Los Angeles, goaltending and defense would be under a microscope all summer long. And I think there would be substantial change in this town. And because of what you said, it's 9 years. And I don't think they're going to find fault with Connor because McDavid is doing a lot. So is Draisaitl. You always want everybody to be better two-way players, but the game they played the other night, they can iron that out, and I think that they will. But if they don't, then you just can't keep running to the well. You have to do something about the things that are deficient. And just like in 1982, the defense was deficient, and Charlie Huddy came along. They were a better defensive team. They were never great, but they were better than they were, and I think that's got to happen for this team.
And I don't even think this is remotely close to a hot take. Like, I think this should be understood by fans and pundits alike.
Well, we're going to find out. On the text line right now, please text us. Let us know. 833-401-1440. We'll roll them back. We also have Steve Lansky. We have Mark Spector. And we're talking NFL in hour number 2. Lowdown with Low Tide. And it's time for a sports update.
This is a Sports 1440 update.
And for your Sports 1440 update, brought to you by Fountain Tire. Save up to $200 on a set of 4 select tires until June 8th, plus a bonus $50 off any service of $150 or more. Book your appointment at fountaintire.com. Some restrictions apply. 4 games in the NHL tonight, including, of course, the Edmonton Oilers, who are in action for Game 3 against the Los Angeles Kings. That series is tied at 1-1. No lineup changes. It will be Stuart Skinner in the starter's net, and puck drop for that one at 8:30. Also in the league today, Rangers and Capitals going at 5 p.m. Rangers lead that one 2-0. Canucks and Preds at 5:30 down in Nashville. That series tied at 1-1. And the other game in the NHL today, the Jets in Colorado against the Avalanche, where that series sits tied 1-1. 3 games in the NBA today. It all gets going with the Bucks and Pacers at 3:30. Pacers tied with the Bucks 1-1 in that one, and the Bucks will be without Giannis Antetokounmpo for the 3rd straight game this series. Clippers and Mavericks tipping off at 6. That series is at 1-1, and the Timberwolves travel to Phoenix to take on the Suns. Timberwolves leading that series 2-0. MLB action around the league. The Royals currently up on the Tigers 1-0 at the end of the seventh. Later today, it's the Athletic and the Orioles at 5, the Cubs and Red Sox at 5:10, Cardinals and Mets also at 5:10, and then the Dodgers and Blue Jays out of Toronto a little bit after 5. According to reports, William Nylander is nearing a return for Toronto's game Saturday. And in the NFL draft last night, history made as 6 quarterbacks were taken in the first round. The first overall pick, Caleb Williams, to the Chicago Bears. That's going to do it for us this hour. Hour 2 is on the way on the Lowdown with Low Tide. I'm Declan Kruger, and this has been a Sports 1440 Update.